Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf.
Hey, and today we have some very scary times, and I want people to start thinking about not just this craziness with coronavirus and, you know, all the different things that we're facing, but the stress that you're bringing into your dogs is going to start creating and exacerbating behavioral issues that you might have noticed. So your dog who is the best dog in the world probably isn't going to be impacted. But a lot of dogs who have very mild behavioral issues, you know, they might have grumbled, they might be a little protective or possessive over their food or toys or a spot in your house, things like that. What tends to happen is when we get stressed, our energy affects our dog's behavior. And as soon as that starts happening, dogs develop or have the behavioral issues that worsen that they probably wouldn't have had otherwise or wouldn't have happened so quickly. So today is going to be focused on keeping yourself and your dog safe and getting rid of a lot of the misinformation out there. You know, it's scary times for sure, but we've gone through a lot worse than this. We've gone through world wars. We've gone through the Korean War. We've gone through the Vietnam War and, you know, Desert Storm, and we've gone through so many things, and we've gone through AIDS, and we've gone through, you know, different like Hep C and different things. And here now it's the coronavirus. Okay. The good thing is that for most people, you get a wicked cold and you're done. Some people who are immune compromised or elderly, or really not even elderly, but, you know, the over 40s, over 50s, we just got to use common sense. Now, those of you who know me personally know that I am the Purell queen. I've always been very careful. I've never been the person who shares drinks with people. I've never been the person who shakes hands and then touches my face, you know, because people, even if people are relatively clean, which many are not, and I'm starting to realize as you guys are, what the heck is the deal with the toilet paper? Does toilet paper secretly prevent the coronavirus? Maybe we need to make giant raincoats out of toilet paper, and then we can go anywhere we want because we won't get coronavirus. It's a little bit crazy what's going on. But this brings me to something that's very important that I've gone through before on this show and in my books and lectures and all, is keeping things clean in your house for your dogs. What cleaning products do you use? Please don't be using bleach on your floor and on everything when you have a dog, because that dog is walking on, especially if it's wet, it's even worse. Your dog should not be walking on things that are going to be toxic, because your dog is going to then lick its paws or, you know, lick its body, cleaning itself, and is going to be ingesting Clorox and all these crazy disinfectants that people are buying, and their dogs aren't used to it. These things can store in the body, in the kidneys, and the liver, and do damage to the dog, or cats as well. Cats have a whole funky different thing going on. So what I'm going to tell you guys, and I'm not an expert, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm telling you common sense with having 35 plus years of experience with this stuff, of having a veterinary background. I'm not a veterinarian, but I have a very extensive medical and veterinary background, and I'm a researcher. Long before Google, I have been the one who researched things, and I would call a chemical company and ask for contraindications. I would sit with the PDR, the physician's desk reference, with my father, who was a bit of a germaphobe as well. And you know, we used to look at things and say, gosh, this has to interact. It's not normal to have that chemical in your body. So if you're using bleach on everything, please make sure after you do that, that you wipe it and rinse it and do what's recommended by the manufacturer before your dog walks on it, because it can be toxic to your dog. And I'm telling you, we're going to have coronavirus is going to be gone, and we're going to have dogs with shut down immune systems, with liver issues and kidney issues and skin cancers and contact dermatitis from all these harsh chemicals that you people are using on your floors. Honestly, look it up. You know what the best thing to do? Vinegar. Get vinegar. Straight vinegar is probably close to as effective, and you can look this up. I'm just giving you ideas here. look this up, is as effective on many, many germs as bleach is. And vinegar isn't going to cause toxicity in the dog's body, and it's not going to create skin issues and all that. Like it can create, you know, can be created by Clorox and different things like that. So please make sure you're aware of that. Also, if you're spraying things on the floor, make sure that your dog isn't walking across them when it's wet. If you can, use some soapy water, you know, to try to get that, you know, residue off. Or, like I said, use vinegar. Another thing that we learned at our ranch in Missouri, which is a gorgeous, huge facility, is never mix Lysol and Clorox together. Forget about it even for your dog. It can create chlorine gas. It is toxic. So make sure that if you're using a particular cleaning product, that you don't switch cleaning products on that mop, because it can cause a lot of issues, and it can cause breathing issues as well. So make sure that you pick your whatever chemicals you're going to use and use those, and make sure if you do use a mop or whatever, make sure it's really, really well washed out with a lot of fresh, clean water, and wash it outside. You know, we'll wash it outside, you know, somewhere that's not going to be toxic to plants and animals that's going to, you know, go into the street. But, you know, rinse it off so that it's not at least going, you know, into the waterways. So I want you to be aware of that. And another thing, please, now everybody's becoming clean freaks. Everybody owns more toilet paper than they do, you know, probably anything else in their whole lives. And we're getting a little crazy, but would you please, for goodness sake, people, especially in the summer, will you wash your dog's food and water bowls after using them? So if your dog eats twice a day, please, and you're picking up the bowl afterwards, you're not leaving it down for free feeding, which some dogs can create basic behavioral issues. Make sure that when your dog finishes, you pick the bowl up, throw it in your sink, wash it out with a little warm soapy water, and throw it in, dry it, or throw it in the dishwasher, and make sure that it stays clean, food and water, especially coming into warmer weather. If a dog picks up germs, bacteria, and yes, dogs get coronavirus, it's a different coronavirus. Coronavirus refers to the shape of what it is. It's not that it's the same exact one. So dogs don't get the same ones as people, and that whole myth in the guy who in China whose dog had coronavirus, well, yeah, it was inhaling it, but it wasn't affected by it, okay? So if you have coronavirus and then, you know, somebody's inhaling it, it can be in them, but it's not impacting them. And most things are not zoonotic that are affecting people. They don't also affect animals. Some things do, but this does not. So please keep everything clean. If you're going to wash your dog, I heard somebody who literally washed their dog in Clorox cleanup. You are going to burn your dog's skin. If you want to use something and you want to clean your dog, use a gentle shampoo with warm soapy water and keep your dog clean. Keep your dog out of, you know, public areas. Don't let everybody pet the dog, because the dog, the fur can trap the, you know, the virus. Like it can trap dirt. So what's great is, you know, these baby wipes, like a nice sensitive skin baby wipe kind of a thing. That's a great thing. The other thing that you can do if you want is you can also use some of these Purell wipes, not the ones, the industrial ones that they use on surfaces, but anything that's safe for you and for your skin should be safe for the dog. Stay away from the eyes and the nasal membranes. Don't use that in the ears, but you can use it on the outside, pretty much anywhere you could use it for yourself. But please try to keep things clean, because if you want to wipe your dog's feet when the dog comes in from the, you know, from the night or from your walk, then, you know, definitely you can do that. But make sure, again, that, you know, you wipe your dog's feet off with something that's going to keep it from getting kind of disgusting, but also keep it from drying out and having chemicals or chemical burns on it. And also, please, please, please be careful when you go to dog parks, because they are germ factories. It's like going to a daycare center that was inside, you know, an infectious disease unit of a hospital. I mean, you can't get more disgusting germs. Dogs urinate and defecate in dog parks. You know, they run around and they touch the same things every other dog touches. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of dog parks unless, you know, it's your only way you can exercise your dog. But some dog parks are very clean, but most of them, you know, you don't know what's in there, although you do know what's in there. You wouldn't walk barefoot in there or let your toddler eat a gummy bear that fell on, you know, the ground in a dog park. Then think about it. That's what's coming into your house. And if you're going to bring your dog into the house after going to one of these places or even, you know, walking around on a city street, there's a lot of junk out there, you know, and I've seen dogs get allergies even. So you can rinse your dog or wipe, you know, the dog's feet off with, you know, with a damp towel or baby wipes. And baby wipes are made to take the dirt off. So not to belabor that point, but I do want to go through things that are relevant. So what do you do when you're home with your dog all day long? And this is, I've been getting, it's funny, people have been calling saying, oh, you must, you know, not have a lot of people calling you now. I have more people. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I've got more people who want to do board and trains for behavioral rehabilitation and people who are calling me and saying, I didn't know my dog was freaking out like this when the mailman came. I didn't know that my dog was, you know, trying to get through the upstairs window at this squirrel. I didn't know my dog was aggressive when, you know, people came to the door when I'm not here. And there are a lot of things that you don't realize that your dog has been doing. And the other problem is now we're all home. Your dogs are going to get used to your being home. And a lot of dogs are going to develop separation anxiety when they're done. Because what's going to happen is the dogs are going to get used to having you there all the time. And then when we all go back to normal life in a couple of months or a couple of weeks, whatever it ends up being, you're going to have a dog who's used to having you home. And all of a sudden, dogs are going to be, I'm going to be going crazy. Our United Canine Pros team is going to be going crazy because we're going to, you know, end up having all these people who are going to be calling with separation anxiety issues. So today I'm going to give you some information on how to prevent that. And this is going to work. Think about what you normally do. You take your dog out when you get up. But if you're getting up and you know you're going to work, you might be getting up at 6:30. So your dog is on that schedule at 6:30. And dog goes out for a walk, you come back, you take your shower, you feed him before you leave. So maybe he's eating at 7 and you're out of the house at 7:15. But now, because your schedule has all changed, maybe you're not getting up till 8. You're not taking the dog out till 8:30. And now, you know, everything's changed. Maybe you're just, oh, I'm not going to take him out for a long walk. I'm just going to, you know, because I don't want to go out too much. So you end up changing everything. And dogs, many dogs, not all, but many dogs are creatures of routine. So if you're not really keeping that routine for them and you're changing your routine because, you know, you're laid off or you're home or whatever, what can happen is that when you do go back to work, your dog is going to pick up separation anxiety. So today we're going to go through that. And let's start right now. How do you prevent separation anxiety from happening when you do go back to work? So let's say we talk about the schedule. You're out of the house by 7:15 normally. Now you're home all day. So what I want you guys to do, you don't have to do it at 7:15, but try to keep that pattern at least a few days a week for the next few weeks until whatever, you know, we all learn what's going to happen. And it looks like they've got some new medications that are very promising that offer virtually 100% success rate. So hopefully we won't have too many people passing on from this virus. But if you can start, let's say you used to go and leave at 7:15 in the morning and walk out the door. You don't actually have to, you know, leave and go, you know, go to work, obviously. But what you can do is just go out your front door. You're going out anyway with the dog, right? So we're all kind of stuck together. So if you're going out, go out without your dog. So take him for his walk and then just go out and you know, do whatever it is. Go into the bedroom even. If you're used to putting the dog in the crate when you leave or in a pen or in the kitchen,
do that same routine. You don't have to do it every day, but keep it as a part of the dog's routine, as his repertoire, so he doesn't start getting used to the fact that you're always home. And then if you're always home, and now all of a sudden you're leaving, you got separation anxiety potentially. So this will definitely work to ameliorate any signs of potential separation anxiety that could pop up at any point because of, you know, everyone being home and then leaving. Another thing is try not to change the dog's routine as much as you can. If you usually feed him when you get home at 6 o'clock, don't feed him at 3. Feed him at the same time. Again, they're creatures of habit like we are as humans. Dogs are typically the ones that are going to pick up on nuances. So even when we turn the clock ahead, right? Isn't it funny how the dogs know the time change? They don't know the time change. We do the same things at 6 o'clock at night that we used to do when it was 5 o'clock at night, or the same things at 6 o'clock at night when it used to be 7 o'clock at night. So whichever way the clock turns, it doesn't matter because we're still doing the same things. And that's what the dogs are doing. They're picking up or keying on what we are doing in our patterned behaviors every day. So what are some great things that you can do with your dog? Like, let's say we've got, you know, we're all home for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Start doing quality things with your dog. You know, there's always things that we say, oh, if I had more time, I would, whatever. You got the time now. There's no excuse. So how about if you start looking at things that you wanted to do with your dog? Hey, guess what? Get him used to having his feet touched every day. And maybe, you know, using a Dremel or a nail grinder. And just do a toenail every day, or, you know, a couple times a day. Sit down and watch TV. Maybe, you know, another thing that I want to go through very quickly is, you know, maybe now you're going to bring them up on the couch to sit with you because you're home all the time. Well, just remember, whatever you're teaching them now is stuff that's going to become a patterned behavior, and he's going to realize, like, oh, I get to sit on the furniture now. I like this. So just remember, whatever it is that you're doing now is potentially going to be something that that dog is going to want to do later as well. And don't go blaming him because, you know, you did something different while we're all home with coronavirus scare. So, yeah, there's a lot of other things that you can do, too. One of the things is a lot of people say to me, oh, I wish I had time that I could, like, teach my dog stuff. Great. Teach your dog stuff. What do you want to teach him? You know, you can teach him obedience tricks. It's really, obedience is the easiest thing in the world, not at the super upper levels, but basic obedience. I mean, you know, let's face it, it's pretty simple. You know, a kid with a box of cookies, you know, an 8-year-old can teach a dog to do all kinds of stuff. When I had my dog Charcoal and I was about 8 years old, I made a Rube Goldberg kind of thing. And I wish we had videos and things like we did, you know, we do now back then. And I had my Scottish Terrier Charcoal walk up a step stool, up 3 steps, and he dropped a cookie into the top of this little Rube Goldberg thing. And the cookie, I made it with paper plates and straws and strings and things. It was funny. And I made this whole, like, racetrack for this cookie. And this dog would actually go up to the top of the little ladder that I had set up. And he would drop the cookie onto that, and it would be like the game Mousetrap, if any of you remember that from when you were kids. And it would go up and over, and it would go on a pulley, and it would go land, and it would fall, and it would slide, and it would something would move, and it would come down, it would drop it on another thing, and eventually it would come down to the bottom. And then when it got down to the bottom, I would say, okay, Charcoal. And Charky would, he would take the cookie out. And people thought it was so cool. Well, you know what? You got kids. Your kids are home now. If you have a dog, do something fun with them. Teach them, you know, let your kids have creativity. You know, we're not in a power outage. You know, power outage is a lot worse because unless, God forbid, you're actually afflicted with the coronavirus. If you're just hanging out, and most of us are going to be totally fine, we've got all this time. If, God forbid, we lost power or we didn't have water, power failures are the worst because you can't do anything. We're okay. We're home. It's like a unfortunate forced vacation. But let's spend time. Let your kids draw with the dog. Let's say, what do you think that he's thinking of right now? Don't tell anybody. It's a game. What do you think that, you know, your dog Fluffy is thinking right now? What do you think he'd like to do? Get your kids involved. Get them to work with the dog. Maybe count how many little kibbles he eats. Give him treats. You know, let the kids walk the dog around the house. If you have a dog who is very strong, you can always actually read my book. It'll help you a lot. It's called Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101. And you can get on Amazon. That's a great thing because that'll help your dog and help the behavior. And your kids can read it. It's anybody 7 or 8 years old or up will have no problem reading it other than the appendix, which has got some college papers of mine from my animal behavior classes. But most of the book is super, super easy. Let your kids read the book. Let them read it and tell you what you're doing wrong because, you know, kids love to tell their parents what they're doing wrong, right? But you can do that. You can have your kids work on together saying, hey, what are we going to teach, you know, Fluffy to do today? What tricks would you like to teach? Let's do for this week. Let's teach him these tricks. You know, make cookies, make dog cookies. We got stuff. I mean, you got enough toilet paper and paper towels probably for the next millennia. So if you, let's say, have oatmeal, all right, you have oats or something, bake some really nice, or the no-bake cookies. You got peanut butter. Everybody's stockpiled with peanut butter. Take peanut butter and oatmeal. You can take some blueberries and, you know, some dried blueberries and different things like that. Make sure if you check, just make sure nothing is toxic. Make a little peanut butter balls and, you know, put them in the oven and, you know, let them dry out a little bit. You can make all kinds of cool stuff. Let your kids be part of the dog's behavioral future. You know, like, don't just, oh, we're going to go buy this. Let's make stuff. We got time. Everybody I know has always said, wow, I wish I had more time. Well, guess what, people? We've got it. You wished for it. Be careful what you wish for. And here we are. We've got time, and we're not supposed to be with others. I've seen a few families who are probably going to move to different planets if they can, or solar systems, because they hate each other so much. But most of the families I see are just kind of home, and they don't know what to do. Well, even if you whatever it is and you're not getting a paycheck, try to make some time that's productive for you, for your family. Read a book, write a book, do whatever it is, but don't let that impact your dog's behavior and your family's behavior. Make sure that you think about different opportunities that are presenting themselves. I'm not talking about jobs. And, you know, I get it. It's tough living paycheck to paycheck. It really is. And it's very scary. But this is what I'm telling you. No matter what happens, worrying about it at this point is doing nothing. Worrying about it is just stressing out your kids, your family, and your dogs. And if your dog gets stressed out, and it gets stressed out long enough, if a dog feels that it's not getting the leadership that it needs, and if it feels, you know, if a dog feels like, uh-oh, nobody's taking care of us, nobody's providing for me, like you'll read in my book, and Happens, S-H-H-H, and Happens. Being a leader is not being a shot caller crazy. It's not being somebody who's yelling and screaming, but it's also not becoming a human Pez dispenser. And I've heard people use my analogies, and I am grateful for that because it makes sense. And people are starting to see that they shouldn't be doing that. Not that you can't give your dogs treats. Gosh, I give my dogs tons of treats, but I don't bribe them. I don't make them do tricks for it. I give it to them because I love them. I give it to them because they're the best dogs in the world. They really are. I mean, honestly, they are the best dogs in the world. But your dogs will be better behaved if you use this time productively and start getting yourself to a point where, you know, you can at least get things going, training them to do a new thing, Go get order on Amazon, which is doing great. And if you want to buy stock, buy Amazon, for goodness sake. That's crazy. Don't listen to me on that, please. But I'm telling you, look at the market. You'll see. Amazon's doing the best business it's ever done. Supermarkets are going to be like banner year, unfortunately, because everybody's buying more toilet paper and paper towels and cleaning products. And God knows what they were doing before to keep their houses and hineys clean. But hey, whatever. But, you know, this is a good time for everybody to try to become more productive. Start doing things that are going to make you, you know, a better parent, a better person, and a better dog owner. So how about, you know, taking your dog for more walks? Yes, you can take your dog around your apartment for a walk. When you take your dog for a walk, even those of you who use pee pads for, well, hopefully you don't use pee pads, but those of you who have dogs who use pee pads or usually use pee pads, what you can do for the hunt, wait, eat that I talk about in the book, you don't have to actually walk the dog outside if you don't wish to. You can actually walk your dog in your apartment, either with a collar or leash or with a gentle leader head collar, which is what we use. And I've got a new invention that I'm coming out with soon. That's even a better mousetrap, so to speak. But if you can take your dog and let your kids take that dog who can't be walked outside near other dogs, start taking that dog inside your house. Have them walk around the perimeter of your house as if you were walking outside. Get your kids able to handle that dog in the house. Obviously, you know, we're not talking about three-year-olds, but you know, you can be with the child. The child can hold the leash if it's a dog who's safe and good. And hopefully if it's not safe and good, you don't have a dog around your three-year-old. If you've got an aggressive dog or a dog who's super dominant, then just help the child. Or, you know, don't do it if you have any concerns whatsoever, because you know your dog better than I do. You're there. I just know dogs in general, and I've worked with 35,000 plus behavioral issues with dogs. And I'm telling you, You have to change certain things that you're doing, people, because otherwise you're going to end up having dogs with behavioral issues when we're all through this. It seems like it's forever, but I'm telling you, I'm a three-time cancer survivor. Two of the three times I had extensive surgeries. I've had 14 cancer surgeries, and every single time when I started, I'm like, this too shall pass. It will be fine. And I saw other people who, you know, go through things, and they're just horribly, like, morbid about it and depressed and, oh, you know, I'm going to die with that, you know, why me attitude. It's all of us. You can't say why me. It's everybody right now. We got to pray for the people who are afflicted, who are getting this coronavirus, and who are, you know, the percentage who is dying of it, who's immune compromised or older, or just these kind of freakish ones where there's a family who, you know, actually three people died in the family. Maybe it's got something to do with genetics that we don't know about as well. But whatever it is, we can't change it. Can't change it right now. So make the best of it. Start making your dog cookies. Start spending time with your kids and your family. Start spending more time with your dog. And keep the pattern that your dog is doing, that what he's doing, when he's doing it, pretty close, at least a couple days a week, so he's still used to when you leave and you go back to work, that he's not going to be like, oh my gosh, mom, dad, where are you now? And he's going to be fine. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll work on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back. And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we have a spirited day, to say the least, and we're talking about taking care of yourself and your dog and making sure that you can come through this without having a dog with behavioral issues. Same thing is going on with service dogs. I've placed about 1,300 service dogs. And let me tell you, I've got phone calls and text messages from people left and right saying, what do I do? My dog can't go out anymore. Do I have to do something special? The answer is no, and the answer is yes. No, because the dog is supposed to be with you, right? So the dog is with you, and, you know, that's what he wants to do or she wants to do. But, yeah, there are things you need to do, because what's happening when we don't go out, especially if you're like me and you go out a lot and you always have your dog with you, and we're talking about service dogs here, even though if you take your dog to the office, it's the same thing. Even though your dog isn't a service dog and doesn't have the training, your dog gets into that pattern of behavior. So this is specifically for those of you who have legitimate service dogs and that the dog has been trained to go with you. This is going to you right now. You should continue, even though you can't go outside maybe, you should continue to vest up or harness up your dog most of the time. You don't have to do it all the whole day, but make sure you do it every day or every 2 days. Throw your dog in vest and harness, and if you walk around your house, have the dog doing what it normally does. If your dog does what we call safe spot, which is like a downstay, it's not a downstay, but we call it safe spot. But it's kind of like a downstay when the dog doesn't leave and you can't call him out of it. Do that. So do that if you would normally be in, let's say, in class, in school, or if you'd normally be at a workplace, or you'd normally be on the train, or you'd be on an airplane, but we can't, you know, obviously all do that anymore. If that's the case, that's what you normally would do, put the vest on, go to a room in your house or your apartment that you don't frequent as much, and put the dog in his safe spot there. If you normally would do something with the dog, like going in and out of doors in vest, then make sure you continue to practice. You know, I've had this happen through the years, and just had it happen actually with somebody who the child, I won't give you details because I can't because of HIPAA, but where the child used to get seizures, so we were training a seizure dog, but then they contacted me and said, well, my kid hasn't had seizures in a year. The medication is controlling it, so I don't think we really need a seizure dog at this point. I said, well, all of our dogs get 17 basic skills that we do, and of these skills, that is one that we see if dogs have talent with. So the child hadn't had a seizure in a year. But the dog had the training. But we didn't practice it because, you know, after we realized that we probably didn't need it, we practiced it here and there, but not practicing it every day, not as a part of the training. Dogs tend not to forget things like that, just certain things that that the dog will just kind of hang on to. So, of course, lo and behold, the child had a breakthrough seizure. The dog alerted well before, and the family said to me, I haven't practiced this skill with this dog at all, and it's at least a year since we have the dog. My child hadn't had seizures a year before that, so it's now 2.5 years. So this dog has been there and not had any need to practice anything with seizures because the child hadn't had seizures. Child had a seizure. Dog was right on top of it. Wonderful Ridgeback. Great dog, one of my favorite dogs, lovely family. So that was great because that was a dog that was trained by us, and we're very picky. We train and train and train and train. It would take a year and a half to 2 years to train these dogs, and they're like machines with fun fur on the outside. So they're fun, but they're very, very businessy, you know. They have to be. They're keeping people safe, saving lives. So anyway, what I do see, though, is that people stop when they stop going out, somebody breaks their arm, tears a ligament, they stop doing what the dog was used to. And when you have a dog who's a working dog particularly, they really need to continue to work. So you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do it 8 hours a day, but you do want to keep the dog sharp. One of the things that I see a lot of times is when we do either an autism service dog or a dog that for a child with, you know, behavioral, emotional needs and chemical issues or anxiety, and then the child the dog is able to actually help the child, so the child kind of doesn't need the dog anymore. Sounds crazy, but they kind of just don't need the dog anymore. And then what happens is, you know, the dog stays home, puts on weight. Isn't that what happens to all of us, right? And then the dog is just kind of, you know, a pet. But then you stop doing the things that the dog was needed for in the first place, and the dog gets out of practice. So this is why I'm saying to you, you definitely want to continue to keep the dog working and keep the dog doing things that it was doing before, so that it doesn't end up, you know, getting all, you know, all out of practice and all. So for those of you who hear that noise behind me, that's Whispity Bunny Dog, who just came into my my studio. And it's funny because, yes, all my dogs can open doors. So they can open and close even deadbolts, unless you do the deadbolt and take the key actually out. They can all get into my house anywhere they want, or get out of the house as well. So it is pretty funny. But that goes to say, you know, I'm not running around and don't have my service dog with me all the time. I have four that I use different times in different places, and depending on their size, sometimes you need the bigger dog. And then when I'm flying on some of these little Embraer 145 planes, where Wyatt always had a hard time fitting because he's 110 pounds. Sometimes Wispa, who's only 90 pounds, was a lot easier to fit in there, or Savannah, who's about 90 pounds. But yeah, you know, when the dogs aren't working anymore, then all of a sudden, you know, you have, you know, you have that this dog that has this extra energy and extra desire to be going places, and it's not. So throw the dog's vest on and run through your series of skills as if you were training him initially. And if you, you know, if you can't do that, then see if somebody in your family can help you out on that. But, you know, you want to definitely keep your dog in that mentality of continuing to work and continuing to have a purpose. Because remember, purpose for any dog, especially for service dog, but purpose is built on two very important concepts. That, you know, you've got to provide for your dog and protect your dog. So if your dog starts feeling like, uh-oh, I've got to protect you, then the dog could potentially develop behavioral issues. That's where you see, you know, and I've seen, I think it's four or five times already, I've been in airports and veterans with, I don't know where they get the dogs from, but I've not ever seen more than a couple of veterans who had service dogs, legitimate service dogs, that were even well behaved, let alone doing skills. So I hope that, you know, people are you know, people who are trying to train service dogs for veterans are going to at least learn how to do it the right way and get some skill base beside them and behind them so that they can train these dogs. But you know, when a veteran is having a meltdown or a veteran's having anxiety, the last thing that you really want to do is have a dog that has more anxiety than the veteran. And we deal with a lot of veterans and have placed quite a few service dogs with veterans. And one of the things we look for is a dog who's super stable behaviorally and emotionally, that he's like a snuggly kind of dog who's smart enough to learn skills but not impacted too much by things around them. If a veteran particularly is getting stressed because he knows his dog has a behavioral issue and is dog aggressive or dog reactive, and I walk in with my perfectly behaved, you know, Savannah or Whisper or Wyatt or, you know, any of my dogs, and that dog's growling and snarling and lunging at my dog, and I see the veteran running the other way, that's not cool. And I think what a lot of the vets are feeling is what you guys are starting to feel now. Maybe you can, you know, sympathize and empathize a little bit with some of these vets who, you know, it's hard navigating things, and they have anxiety just, you know, being near people sometimes, or, you know, having their backs to a crowd, you know, backs to a door or loud noises. And, you know, it's good for everybody to say, like, wow, this is, you know, how we're all like, oh, my God, stay 6 feet away. Some people have to do that all the time because they have anxiety. And that's just one of the many things that these, you know, men and women who've served our country are facing. So again, it's good for everybody to kind of see this, but let's try to fix these things. And those of you who are home now and you have a dog who's got behavioral issues, try to work on it. Get a copy of my book, you know, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101 on Amazon. You can also call us or you can email us, info@unitedk9pros.com, info@unitedk9pros.com, or you can go on to the website, www.unitedk9pros.com. Or you can go on if you're looking for help with a service dog or training a service dog or retraining your dog that's supposed to be a service dog that you paid $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 for. You know, we can help you with that stuff. You can go on to merlinskids.org, merlinskids.org. And Merlin's Kids has, you know, a whole big website and there'll be a place for you to learn. It'll say education. You can learn how, even if you'd like to train service dogs for other people. We have new classes starting every quarter. And we have some that take a year and then you've got to go through another 500 hours of hands-on training. It's pretty extensive, but you learn so much and it's a great feeling to be able to train a real service dog instead of some of the people who walk around with their pets with a fake ID and a fake note from the doctor. And I just want to not talk about that now because that really gets my goat, so to speak. But, you know, so let's go through a little bit about how can you work on training your service dog outside for public access when you can't go outside for public access. You can set things up in your house. You know, you can set things up, put your kitchen chairs together and put a board or a cardboard box over it. And guess what? All of a sudden, that's a shelf unit in the supermarket. So you can teach your dog how to go underneath the table. You can work on that. It's much more helpful for you to spend the time constructively and have an end in sight. Set some short-term goals. Hey, today we're going to train the dog to do this. Tomorrow we're going to train this. And by the end of this whole mess, my dog is going to know 5 skills. You can do that. And then you take those skills and you practice those skills outside in public when we're all allowed to go back in public. But let's seriously just give some thought to the fact that, you know, except for those who are, and my heart goes out to the people who are impacted, who have the virus, or, you know, people who have cancer. I deal with kids with cancer. I've got so many parents I talk to on a daily basis that they're more worried about their child who's immune compromised having, you know, because the child has no immune system because they've gone through all the chemotherapy and radiation, and they can't find hand sanitizer, they can't find surgical masks, they can't find germicidal hospital cleaner because everybody's hoarding it. So stop hoarding the stuff. Start thinking like it's not your world, okay? You don't own the left lane on the highway. You don't own that seat in that restaurant. You don't own it. We all own it. Life is community property. And if we can all kind of come together, if we can kind of help each other, let's rise to the occasion instead of sinking to the depths of what disgustingness humanity can bring. We know how bad humans can be. I know some really, really horrible people who just want to hurt other people who are doing good. You know what? They'll wind up, God takes care of them, you know? There's a greater power than I and you that's going to take care of everybody who's bad. But let's be the good people. Let's be the ones who are helping each other. Let's check in on an elderly neighbor. You don't have to go there, but call. Hey, Mrs. Smith, how are you doing? Do you need anything? Do you need toilet paper? Because I've got 4,000 rolls. I'm going to give you 4 rolls of toilet paper, and I'm going to give you a couple of bottles of iced tea because I know you like it, and I'm going to give you a thing of hand sanitizer so you can keep yourself healthy. And if you need anything, here's my phone number. Just call me and we'll leave it for you. Or we'll make you food. Do something nice for somebody. We all say that over and over. Oh, if I had time, I'd volunteer and I would do this. Or if I had time, I would do that. We don't, though, because nobody does. I do. I do it all the time. I give all my money to people who I don't even know because I want to help people. I'm a 3-time cancer survivor. I'm here for a reason. 4 times. Put on here once and then save 3 times. And guess what? My service dogs, my cancer detection dogs, saved my life the last 2 times. Okay? So I believe and I do as I say and I do as I do. So if you guys start doing as I say and not as you do right now, do good stuff, and you don't need to get something back for it. Go help a neighbor who has a dog, an elderly neighbor. Take the leash and Purell your hands and spray Lysol or alcohol on the leash so when you hand it back, you don't give it to Mrs. Smith and you put coronavirus or you put some germs on the handle. Take somebody's dog out for a walk. Don't charge them. What a novel idea. Okay? Do something good. Make a meal. If you go to the supermarket and you're exposing yourself to stuff, pick up something that maybe your neighbor might need. You know, this is a time America can be great and America can be really pigs. Prove how good we can be. Let's help each other. Let's do great things for each other. Let's not hoard things. Let's not do things we wouldn't normally do. I just am so grateful that I have incredible people in my life, but and animals. But, you know, a lot of you guys, you're just selfish. And I'm going to call a spade because I've had cancer 3 times. If God didn't want me here, I wouldn't be here. And you know what? I'd rather say this and help people and get you guys to start thinking about saving each other, helping each other. Remember 9/11, those of you who weren't, you know, 2 years old? Remember 9/11? It wasn't that long ago. It's like almost 20 years ago. That's all. 9/11 brought out the greatest of the great. And I remember, no matter how much you like him or hate him, George Bush, talking about it, how he was going to keep us safe. And I remember in the 80s with Ronald Reagan, with the Cold War and all the things going on, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I remember that stuff, and I was real young with Reagan, but I remember that feeling of like, okay, we're going to be all right. And whether you like who's in the White House or not, which I haven't liked anybody in the White House in a long time, and yes, you know, we can get into that. I don't want to get into that. I just want to say whatever is in the White House or whoever's in the White House doesn't make you a nicer person or a better person. Sometimes it makes you a worse person. So take somebody who needs help, who's local to you in your community, help that person. If you have dog food or if you know they have a dog and it's an older person or a person who is maybe a little bit, you know, disabled, call them up. Leave a note on the door. Hey, Mr. Smith, do you need dog food for your dog? Do you need, you know, heartworm pills for your dog? Do you need food? What can I do for you? How nice would that be? Imagine just doing something for somebody you don't even know or somebody you barely know just to show that you're a good person, just to do something good to help somebody, not because you're getting paid, not because you're getting anything out of it. Why don't we try to help each other? And along those lines, you know, you see a stray dog right now on the street, you can feed that dog. Be careful because a lot of the shelters, unfortunately, are kind of having a moratorium on dogs coming in. We've got an amazing shelter, our local shelter in our county, where I was living for my whole life. They are wonderful. They're not killing any dogs because of this. It's not changing that part of it, maybe just not adoptions right now. But if you see a stray dog, you know, and it's a cute little dog and you can, you know, have it in your heart, you have an extra room or a little corner in your yard because it's nice weather out now, you know, do something nice. Because, you know, if you do something nice, maybe nobody's going to ever know what you're doing. Like I do, honest to God, I don't tell people 99% of what I do. I don't do it for you. I don't do it to talk about it. I don't do it to post it on social media. I do it because I can. I do it because I want to. I want to help as many people as I can. Even when people suck, and even when people are mean, and even when people are crazy, or even what, no matter what they do, I don't care. Because what I do reflects on who I am, not who they are. And that's what you have to start listening to and thinking about. What you do to help others and to help animals, to help those with disabilities, to help those who are elderly or infirmed, what you do, maybe only you will know. Maybe you don't even have to call Mrs. Smith. Maybe you can just leave something for Mrs. Smith. She doesn't need to know you did it so she can feel indebted to you. Just do something nice, just because. And with that, I'm going to let you all go back to your toilet paper and your paper towels and maybe thinking a little bit about somebody else and trying to help somebody just because. And maybe without them even knowing, just because. God bless everybody. Prayers for all those who are affected. And we'll see you next week. Love you all. No matter how good or bad you may think you are, you're still a human being on this earth, and you have goodness in you, and let's see what goodness you can do for others. God bless.